we would take in all that He is offering through His Word, through the Word of God, that we might be enlightened, and we might be encouraged, and Lord, also challenged. Lord, we pray now that You would bless this time, allow us to open our hearts and our ears this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2017. What will it bring? Well, God only knows that. We don't have the ability to see the future. And although there's those that try to see the future, they are not anywhere near 100% in their desire to speak the future. We put it in magazines all the time. This is what's going to bring. This is what's going to happen. And I mean, I can tell you some things just because of experiences. I can tell you that this next year is going to bring some good stuff, and it's going to bring some bad stuff. All right? So now we got that handled. Now, the problem is our focus. That's, you know, it doesn't matter really the good things or the bad things. The problem is really our focus. And, you know, we're generally negative people. I mean, I know that when something happens, you kind of think the negative right away. Or for instance, if you're called into the boss's office or the principal's office, what do you think right away? Oh boy. Uh-oh. You know, if I pulled you aside and said, "Hey, can I see you in my office?" What are you going to think? Oh my gosh, what did I do now? And so we're generally negative people. We honestly think that way right away. And so we need to consider the enemy's tactics. What does Satan try to do with us, and what he's been doing with people and humanity? And so I want us to look at a few scriptures, and we're going to look at the enemy's tactics and how we can combat those tactics. The first scripture I want you to go to is 1 Peter chapter 5, 1851 in your Pew Bible, 1851. And it's 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 8. Now it says here, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." So what does that tell you right now? First of all, it tells you the devil is like a roaring lion. Well, you know, when a lion hunts, it's not roaring. Okay, right? I mean, if a lion's hunting, it's stealthy, sneaking around, right? Okay, so it's not roaring. When a lion is feeding, it's not roaring. You know, it's kind of hard to roar with your mouth full. You know how your parents tell you don't talk with your... The female lions are saying don't roar with your mouth full. That's just what it is. The lions don't. The only time they really roar is for a warning. You know, stay away. Get out of... You know, don't come over here. So it's for fear and panic. That's what lions will roar for. And it's not real power, because the power is in the punch that they actually do hunt. The power is in that. It's not a roaring. Roaring is nothing. So it's like propaganda. You know, when POWs were captured, they were told, you know, everything's going to be okay, man. You know, when they were in those jail, you know, whatever partitions and things, you know, and I talked enough to POWs from World War II to know they try to get in your head mentally. And so the enemy will say to the POW, they'll say, you know, America doesn't care about you. They've abandoned you. Your wife, your girlfriend is with somebody else. Right now, nobody cares. And they constantly bombard them with this kind of propaganda, this kind of fear factor. I want you to go to 2 Chronicles. It's back in the Old Testament. 654 in your Pew Bible, 2 Chronicles. It's after the 1st and 2nd Kings, of course. 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, 654, chapter 32 in 2 Chronicles. In this situation, Israel is faced with the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. Really difficult name to pronounce. But chapter 32, verse 10, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, goes up to Israel. They put a siege on Jerusalem. They're under siege, and they surround the city with all their military might. And then, you know, they don't want to kill anybody. They want them to give up. So, verse 10, he says, here's what the king says. On what are you basing your confidence? That you remain in Jerusalem under siege? When Hezekiah says, the Lord our God will save us from the hand of the king of Assyria, he is misleading you. To let you die of hunger and thirst? Did not Hezekiah himself remove his God, this God's high places and altars, and saying to Judah and Jerusalem, you must worship before one altar and burn one sacrifice on it? Do you not know that what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of other lands, where the gods of those nations were ever able to deliver their land from my hand? Who of all the gods of these nations that my fathers destroyed have been able to save the people from me? How then can your God deliver you from my hand? Now, do not let Hezekiah deceive you and mislead you like this. Do not believe him, or no god of any nation or kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand? All is lost. You're going to lose. So give up. That's what he's saying. Just give up. And that's what Satan says. Whispers in our ear. Just give up. Don't try and live for God. Come on. What has he done for you? He's not going to save you from my hand. You know, Hezekiah went to the priest and he said, you know, we got to worship God. We got to go to him. We got to pray. We got to get on our knees. We got to sacrifice. They did. You know what happened? It's in 2 Kings. You don't have to turn there. I'll just tell you what happened. 2 Kings 19, 35 through 36. You can read it later. God went to battle for them. That night, 185,000 soldiers of the king of Assyria were killed by the angel of God. 185,000 just died out in the field, in their tents, in siege around Jerusalem. And you know what happened? Assyria left. They couldn't believe it. God fought the battle for them. Now, you know, you might say, well, that was back then in the Old Testament. But I want to tell you that Satan uses the same tactics against us. He's our enemy. He wants us to surrender because he has really no power over us as believers in God. Panic comes from a pagan god named Pan. And Pan was equal to terror. That's what Pan produced, was terror, confusion, panic. And when we panic, when we get full of fear and we begin to panic, we'll give up because all is lost. We can't handle it. The enemy uses intimidation and psychological warfare. What does Satan attack? Family, church, things that we feel are our security, our home, our finances, our jobs, whatever it might be. He attacks those things. Lord knows, Christmas Eve, we were at home getting ready to come to church, and you name it, it went wrong. I mean, even the cat was misbehaving more than he normally does. I mean, cats are normally just, you know, I won't say it because some of you like cats. But I mean, he was just going bonkers. And then I got struck with, I won't even get too much detail, but intestinal difficulties right at 2 o'clock. And Kathy's going, "Are you okay?" And I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I didn't do anything, eat anything. I didn't, you know, and what's going on? About 3 o'clock, I said, "We got to go." And I said, "I'll just do what I can." We got here to church, started getting everything ready, and you know, that was it. It never bothered me again. Nothing. The cat was fine when we got home. No, it wasn't dead. It was still alive. You know, you see, the thing is that Satan will strike you. And I mean literally strike you. When you least expect it and when you need to be somewhere. Now, I went to a seminar many years ago, and the first day of the seminar, the leader of the seminar said, "You will be stopped from coming for the rest of this week." It was a week-long seminar. He said, "Something's going to happen. And you're going to feel like, I can't make it. There's no way I can go." He said, "That's the one you need to make sure you go to." He says, "And I can guarantee something's going to happen. People are going to come by. You're going to get struck even physically. Illness, whatever it might be, will strike you. You need to come." And so, you know, I thought, okay, well, fine. I feel great. You know, everything's good. And I'm young, you know. And sure enough, sometime during that week, you know, it was like, oh, man, headaches and pain and can't think straight and I don't want to go. And then we made the decision, you know, we better go. We went. Sat down in that auditorium. And as soon as everything started, it was gone. Satan wants us to think we're on the losing side. Satan wants us to believe you cannot win. What bad news have you gotten? What kind of problems are you going through where you're feeling like, I can't win? I'm not going to make it. These are the things that are intimidation and psychological warfare. Satan wants you to feel all is lost. But God says, the scripture we read this morning, God says we're more than conquerors. Romans 8:37-39. He says nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing, no power, no, not even death can separate us. And what happened when Paul and Silas were in jail? What happened? Remember, they sang and praised God. Daniel knew that the law, said, don't pray to anybody but the king. You know what Daniel did? He went straight up to his room and prayed to God. And they threw him in the lion's den. What was Daniel doing in the lion's den when they threw him in there? Do you think he was looking at the lions going, oh man, who's going to bite me now? You know, oh boy, they're looking, they're sneaking closer. That's what I think he was doing. That's what I believe he was doing. He was praying to God in the midst of the lions. You know, that needs to be the focus. Would you be in prayer during that time? Let's look at it for a second. You know, all through the Bible, there's those instances. Paul and Silas, Daniel, the Magi. Just think of the Magi. You know, they see the star, they see all the things, and if you saw the nativity, you saw the dialogue between them, and it was filling in the blank. just trying to say, you know, what would they be talking about? And I can just imagine them saying, you know, it's a long road to get there. I mean, and there's robbers on the road. You know, it wasn't just the three magi or the four magi, whoever it was, that went. They had a caravan, let me tell you, because they had to carry supplies. And they were probably all going, man, how much are we going to have to take? I don't know. You know, it might be 1,000 miles. I'm not sure exactly, but we've got to go. And I can just imagine the desire not to go and the whispers from Satan, you know, that, oh, man, what do you, forget about it. What if you go and nothing's there? What if you go and it's just a fluke? This bright thing in the sky is nothing. Just think of Moses. You know, he had his problems, didn't he? He saw the burning bush, and he was faced with a burning bush, and he said, I don't know if I can go. I can't talk well. And, you know, God says, you're going, because I'm going to be with you. So Moses put his eyes on the Lord. It wasn't always on the Lord. You know, he had a tough time. But God always brought him back. Keep your eyes on me. Noah. Who's going to build a boat in the middle of nowhere? You know, no rain. Noah did it. You know, you look at all the instances in the Scripture and you find that they didn't look at the problem. They looked to the answer. If you focus on the problem, you will be defeated because it will overwhelm you. You know, we have lots of problems in this world. We have lots of issues in our own lives. And when you focus on those things, then yeah, you're never going to win. The enemy whispers in your ear, you can't. You're weak. Oh, I'm stronger than you, boy. God has abandoned you. If you listen to the enemy, you will be defeated. The only way he wins is if you give him the victory. You see, because we're more than conquerors. We have already won. And so the only way that he can win is if we surrender, if we give up. Let me take you to Philippians chapter 4, 1787 in your pew Bibles. Philippians chapter 4, and starting verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent and or praiseworthy, think of these things. We don't have that tendency to do that. We think of all the negative things, you know, whatever is not true, whatever is not noble, whatever is not right, whatever is not pure. You know, we think of all those things. And then we expect a positive result. It doesn't happen. You know, you think negative, you're going to get a negative result. If you think positive, you will get a positive result. And it says, don't be anxious about anything. You know, you can substitute anxious with anything. Don't worry. Don't be angry. Don't be frustrated. Don't be whatever it is about anything, because prayer and petition is the answer. So are we going to focus on the problem or are we going to focus on the answer? And so that's what we need to make a decision on. In John, 1 John 4:4, it says, greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, he's greater than Satan in this world. He gives us the victory. You know, you say, well, hey, what about Job? You know, Job is the guy, you know, you look at that and he was following God and God allowed Satan to slap him down and, you know, what's going on with that? Well, read the last four chapters of Job. Don't just read the first part with all the troubles he went through and trials he went through. Look at the last four chapters. God reminds Job where his focus should be. Job repented and he realized where his trust should lie was with God. Remember, God was, he kept saying, you know, do you know this? Do you know that? Do you know where the water comes? Do you know where the wind comes? And Job was going, no, I don't know. I don't know. How can I know? God says, exactly. Trust me. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Trust God. Today is the day to get your focus back. Today is the day to recalibrate. Recalibrate your faith. You have faith. But sometimes our faith gets put in the wrong place. We put faith on things. We put faith on ourselves. We put faith in the things of this world. And we cannot do that. We need to put faith in God and God alone. And that's what we need to do when we look at the elements. We refocus. We focus on the elements of the bread and the cup. Well, they represent Jesus Christ. He died for us. Remember when Jesus died on the cross? What was he doing? Oh, man, the nails. Oh, that hurt. Oh, and I'm going to die right now. You think Jesus was doing that? Jesus wasn't doing that. He was praying for us. He was looking to his Father. And at the one point in his life when the sins all had to come on his shoulders, then it was, Father, why have you rejected? Why have you turned your back on me? Constant communication with the Father. But Jesus already knew what the point was, what the ultimate goal was. He died for our sins. He died for you and me to give us freedom, to give us forgiveness, to give us eternal life. Do we really want to let Satan win? Do we really want to let him get something that he doesn't deserve? He doesn't deserve victory. He doesn't deserve a place in our life. Any place in our life. And he weasels his way in and gets us to believe that we can't, or that we're defeated, or that we, whatever it might be. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to listen to God's Word. And it tells us we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Isn't that what it says? That we're more than conquerors. Doesn't it say that trust in me, I've overcome the world? The world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have hard times. Yes, you are. But trust me. I'll give you the victory. Jesus died so that we can not ever have a bad day? No. He died so that we can have eternal life when all this is over. We're still going to struggle, but we have a purpose here. That's to witness and share Jesus Christ with others. I want us to take a moment and pray. I want you to think about all the stuff that you've gone through. Also, we're gonna take a moment of silent prayer. There's a lot of people that, you know, we've lost this year. And so I want us to take a moment of silent prayer as well in memory of those that we've lost. And then I'll close us in prayer. So let's bow our heads right now. Father, we come before you to refocus, to re-energize. Because so many times when we get through this life and we get busy and we run around with our heads cut off and we got this to do and that to do and jobs to fulfill and all these things and we forget. And we get weakened. And then Satan comes along and whispers those negative things. Lord, I pray that today, here and now, we just dump all the negative. Realize that we're more than conquerors. To believe that we are winners, that we can do all things in Christ. Lord, I pray that as we take the elements of communion, we remember that Jesus died for us, not to be defeated, but to be victors. And Lord, that it is actually an insult to Jesus if we live our lives in defeat. Lord, we're meant for much more. And there is nothing at all that can separate us from your love. Nothing. And we need to trust that. Now, Lord, I pray that as we look at the elements of communion, Lord, that you would bless this time. Allow us to refocus, that we give up all those things we're holding in our hearts that are not for you, not of you, or that we might give our complete life to you. For now we ask your blessing on the bread and the cup. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like the deacons to come forward and